Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to Millennial Love, the Independent Lifestyle Desk's weekly podcast on love, dating and relationships, hosted by me, Rachel Hosey, Assistant Lifestyle Editor.
And me, Olivia Petter, Lifestyle Writer.
Dating today is a world away from what it was even just 10 years ago. With dating apps, millennials are finding it harder to meet people than ever before. And even when we do, who's to say we won't be ghosted, breadcrumbed or zombied? So that's why we decided to launch Millennial Love as two longtime singletons in their 20s, talking candidly about all of the things everyone is doing but not always willing to admit.
Today we are thrilled to welcome TV and radio presenter Maya Jammer.
Hey.
Hey.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Would you like to tell the listeners, I imagine most people know who you are, but if they don't, yeah. Why don't you tell them a little bit about who you are, what you do and how, you know,
who am I?
Brief
who
life story.
I'm a TV and radio presenter. I'm 23 years old. I started when I was 17 on YouTube doing silly videos and hidden camera pranks and stuff, and then kind of went on to being an online presenter, worked in football and online videos, and then went over to music and entertainment, worked for MTV for a couple of years, then moved to 4Music, and speed fast forward everything else. I'm on Radio 1 now and I do random little entertainment shows and jokey things and a podcast, actually, like you girls.
A brilliant podcast.
A very good podcast.
It's doing really well. It's kind of like similar vibes. We did have an episode about love and dating and everything like that. The L word was one episode. It's called When Life Gives You Melons. So yeah, if you want to listen to it.
Fun name.
It's about boobs. It's not really. It's like about women, topics for women, by women, and just very, you know, like you're having a chat with your girls in your front room.
Vibe. Absolutely. It's totally our vibe. Big fans. Okay, so shall we do a dating debrief?
Yep. What's been going on this week? So actually, when this episode goes out, I will be sunning myself in the south of France.
Lovely.
Looking for a holiday romance, which is what we're talking about later, but probably failing. No, I won't be looking for a holiday romance. I'm going away with 7 of my best girlfriends. Very excited.
That's going to be so much fun.
It's going to be very fun. But in terms of dating stuff, I read something really interesting today on Vogue. So they've hired Eva Wiseman, who's one of my favourite journalists, as an agony aunt. And the first column that she did for them was about dating someone who isn't over their ex yet. And she wrote something really interesting. She said the idea of getting over someone is actually quite a damaging concept and puts quite a lot of pressure on people. And actually it's really almost impossible to date someone and then suddenly just wipe them from your mind. That's not really ever going to happen. And it's unrealistic. And she was advising this person, well, who was dating someone who wasn't over their ex, she was saying, you know, it's better to think of someone as a learning experience and just take from it, you know, what you can improve on in your next relationship, and, you know, cherish the good memories that you had together, and don't feel like you need to just banish them from your mind, because that's going to put too much pressure on you.
I think it's a really interesting concept, because the whole idea of being over someone or not over someone makes it sound like there are two, it's very black and white. Like it's suddenly going to flick a switch and you're suddenly going to be, oh, now I'm over them. Whereas I imagine it's actually more like murky water, like grey area for a long time.
Yeah. I think it probably changes with each person, and whoever broke up with who, it kind of has a massive impact on how you're going to feel. Like if they left you, then it's going to take you a lot longer to get over them than them to get over you, because they've already kind of made up their mind before they let you go. But yeah, I don't know. I've got a really bad memory. So I feel like in time I will definitely just forget about somebody if they were someone I wanted to forget about. But yeah, I don't know. I've never put any pressure on myself to forget somebody. I've just kind of moved on with whatever I was doing.
I think people feel pressure both ways as well. I was talking to a friend recently who'd broken up with a boyfriend of, well, years. And she, it was sort of 6 weeks, and she was like, yeah, I think I'm fine now. But I think, you know, I think maybe it's easier to move on if the relationship's kind of been bad for a while.
Yeah, definitely.
Circumstantial, definitely.
Yeah, but I think it was a very interesting idea anyway.
What's been going on with you, Rach?
So last week I told you about my
bad first date. Well, my good first date that then turned bad. This week I'm going to tell you about a good first date, but sadly it was not my own. But I want to tell you about a very good first date that one of my best friends went on, because it's kind of instilled my faith in love. So she met this guy like out on a Saturday night, and she was very drunk and they snogged. And she doesn't remember a great deal apart from that he was hot, and they switched numbers. And, you know, it's not the most traditional start to a love story, but it's also slightly refreshing to be a break from we met on an app. And so then they messaged over the week, and then they decided to go out. And it turned out they had what she said was the best first date of her life, in that she was just... Okay, he stayed over, but I don't think they had sex, but if they did, sort of irrelevant. And it just sounded like they were so comfortable with each other straight away. And it felt like they'd known each other forever, and they were both totally on the same page and saying that they liked each other. And there were none of these games and none of this like playing hard to get. And they were both just open and comfortable. And she was like, this feels like nothing I've ever felt before. And because it sounded to me when she told me about it that it was like a rom-com. And I was like, this is so nice, because I didn't think it ever really happened that, you know, you hear these stories of like, oh, we went on one date and from that point we were smitten and we just wanted to spend all our time together. And I was like, does that happen? Does it? Because it hasn't happened to me.
I don't know. I've not really dated like that. I've been on like one date that is somebody that you're getting to know. And
yeah.
Then, do you know what I mean? I'm always friends with my boyfriends before they become actual boyfriends. And that takes out the whole dating element. Mm.
That's so nice, I think, because then it just feels organic.
Yeah, I always say this thing. If a boy like approaches me to like flirt with me or ask for my number or whatever, they're already not my type.
No.
Like, I don't like forward boys in that sense. Like, yeah. I like to have to either be the one that kind of flirts a bit first or be friends and there be a basis of it. Yeah. I like don't like the idea of a boy being like, hey,
that's so interesting. I was saying with my friends recently, because one of my friends messaged me today and went, I got chatted up when I was buying loo roll today. And I was like, okay, that's really random, but also what happened? Are you gonna go out with him? And then she was like, no, I realized he was asking weird things, so I decided he was a weirdo. And I was like, I think I don't want to discourage anyone from chatting anyone up, but I think it's so rare these days that often the guys or girls who do approach you in public, slightly odd.
Yeah, it
not
actually
always.
Happened to me. It actually happened to me yesterday. I don't think I told you about this. I was walking to work like 7 a.m.
You got chatted up on the commute?
Well, I didn't get chatted up. I got sort of chased after.
Oh, Christ!
I was walking out of the tube, noticed this guy. We kind of smiled at each other. Then just, you know, I mean, I'm a smiley person.
I always fall in love on the tube.
Well, I didn't. I didn't fall in love on this particular occasion. I was like, yeah, hello. We're both on the same train. Anyway, I then walked out
was
of the tube.
Fit?
Not really my type, but, you know, not hideous looking. It makes me sound awful.
Not bad.
Anyway, I was walking towards the office, and then this guy just like literally runs, stands in front of me and blocks my path. And was like, excuse me, and like, I'm listening to my music. So I took my headphones off. And he was like, hi, I just wanted to say, I think you're really pretty. And I was like, oh, wow, thank you so much. And then he was like, okay, bye. And then walked away. And I was like,
that's nice.
It was quite sweet.
Yeah, I like that. I think it's cute.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of approachy weirdos. I actually had an experience ages ago, probably 6 years ago. And I was on the train, and it was one of those really busy trains where everybody squashed armpit to armpit. And I was sat down, and it was actually my birthday, so I had like made a bit more effort with my hair and makeup. And this guy, who was just so lovely and like handsome, nice, well put together, whatever, like pushed his way through to stand like in front of me, and I was sat down. And he was like, sorry, I never do this, but I've just noticed you and you're so like lovely. I just wanted to know if I could have your number. And I was single at the time and everything. But because I was so embarrassed by everybody around hearing what he'd said and like just being in that situation, that I just said I had a boyfriend. Mm. And after I was like, why did you do that? He was so polite and so nice. And you are single. But because of the pressure of everybody like looking around to see what she's going to say and like just being in this intimate situation, I still had like 7 stops to go. I was just like, oh, no, I got a boyfriend.
That's so funny. I've seen that happen to people on the tube before as well. And I obviously, everyone's listening.
Yeah. It's too much pressure, I think.
Yeah, I think that in public, especially on it's bad enough when you're on a tube with your mate and you're having a conversation and the whole rest of the carriage is quiet and then everyone can just hear what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't like that.
But I think the being again, kudos for him and for doing it in a nice way.
Yeah, he was brave.
And actually not being creepy. But I mean, another issue is the fact that when we reject guys, if we don't want to go out with them, we often do the I have a boyfriend, even though it's not true.
It's the quickest way out.
It's trying to, I think it's a way of trying to not hurt their feelings to make them think like, I mean, if I was single, of course I would, but I'm not. But I also think there's a slight issue. It's like sometimes they don't accept no for an answer. If you just say, I'm not in, I don't fancy, I don't want to go out with you. And they sometimes respect it if they think another man has like laid claim to you. Mm. Anyway, that's laid another claim to you. Issue.
God.
Let's do bio of the week. Now we had slim pickings this week. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't find one. But you found one.
I haven't really been swiping, but...
Neither have I.
I don't know what we've been doing.
I don't know what we've been doing.
God knows.
not dating.
What app are you swiping on?
Bumble or Hinge. What, you don't swipe on Hinge.
No, but...
I didn't even know what Hinge was.
I only found out a few weeks ago. Mm. I mean, I've spoken a lot about it on this podcast, so I won't go too much into it. But it's very different. There's no swiping. You give a lot more information about yourself.
Okay.
Like height. But I think that makes you a bit too discerning because now I'll be like, 5'9".
Yeah.
Which is really bad.
How tall are you?
I'm only 5'7".
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I'm normally like 6 foot. Yeah, fine. But anything below that, I'm like, nah. Which is so mean.
I know, it happens.
And like, it's not like you can tell when you meet someone, oh yeah, she's 5'10". No.
No, but you can tell if in heels you'll be taller than them.
Yeah.
True.
And that's what you don't always want.
Yeah.
To be true. I know, it's so stupid. We shouldn't care about that. No. But it's been ingrained in us to think that the man has to be taller and we have to be small. It's very silly. Anyway, here's our bio of the week.
Yeah.
From a man called Sankit, who is 26. He says, I'm an architect, sometimes cynical and sarcastic, but in an uplifting, positive sort of way. I enjoy travelling, skiing, rock climbing, eating out, films, board games, exhibitions, meeting new people. But most of all, I enjoy listing things.
I was wondering where that was going. I was like, Christ, this is so cringe. But,
oh, bless him.
I quite liked it. I thought it was quite sweet.
Yeah, quite cute.
It's not, I think it's quite hard because I think sometimes people actually do want to kind of like put all their hobbies and interests to see if there's something in common with the people you're swiping with. But it's kind of hard not to do it in a cringe way. So I actually thought that was quite cute.
It's cute, but the things that he says, I mean, travelling, yes. Rock climbing, maybe not. Eating out, yeah. Films, yeah. Exhibitions, ball games, meeting new people. Surely those are pretty ubiquitous things that we all like doing.
Yeah. It's hard to write a bio. I don't know what I'd put in mine. Like, because you won't want to put too much because then it sounds like you're really keen. But then you don't want to put too little because then it's like, are you boring?
Yeah, or? It's really hard. We've played around with them quite a lot. We actually wrote bios for each other not that long ago. Mine was very funny for Rachel. Rachel's for mine.
I didn't put much effort in. let's not go back down that route.
Yeah, they weren't successful.
Okay, so the first topic we're going to talk about today is... the L-bomb. It's when do you say I love you in a relationship? Now, I'm going to put it out there. I've never done it. I've never said I love you because actually, I've never been in love. There you go. I remember years ago when I was in my first job after uni, so I was like, what was I? 23 or something? I don't know. Oh, maybe I was 24. I don't know. And there was like one of my colleagues was doing this like, poll on something about saying I love you, and it came up and everyone was like, oh, how old were you when you first said you've been in love, blah blah blah, and I was like, oh, I've never been in love. And everyone was like, oh my god, what? And I was like, is it that weird?
I don't think it. I mean, I've never said it either.
Really?
No, never.
Oh, I don't know. But then I'm like, relationship girl, it depends like what your life experience has been like.
Yeah,
completely. I think though, just from what friends have said, when they're like 17, 16, they get into their first relationships and they say, I love you, because that's what they feel like they have to do.
Yeah. Or it's just the most that you felt for another person.
Exactly. So they think that it's love. And then they come into relationships like at my age when they're 24 and they're like, oh God, I was not in love with that person.
No. But you know what? Like, lots of people say that you will actually never experience feelings as intense as you do when you're a teenager and it's your first love. And I think you definitely don't write off teenage feelings. Like, they can be very real and very intense.
Yeah, I think what you feel is real and intense, but the actual reality of it is just like, that's not what I want in love when you're that age. So you are, I think definitely you're way more dramatic when you're a teenager and you're way more like open with how you feel, and you're just more like, bah! When you feel something, especially love, you'd be like, I love you, like run around and run away together or whatever it is. But then you will look back and probably compare the relationship that you had as a teenager to an adult relationship and be like, okay, that wasn't really love. Even though I felt like it was, and I felt all these actual emotions, it's just not what I should be in love with, maybe more than just completely disregarding what it was in the first place.
I think it's interesting because I'm pretty sure that like no two loves are the same, right? So how do you actually know if you're in love?
I don't know. I always think like with love, it's just like you, everybody sees it a little bit different, I suppose. Mm. And you do definitely love people differently. Like, you don't love your best friend the same way you love your boyfriend. You don't love your mum the same way, but you love them all. It's just different loves. But I think, I don't know, for me, love is like when you just want to, I don't know, you care about someone just as much, if not more, than you care about yourself, and you want to see them happy, and do it, and being around them makes you feel like nothing else matters, and all that, like, cliche bit.
It is cliche, but it's true. It's like you want to be around someone that you feel like you can be yourself with, someone who brings out the best in you.
And you're just happy around them, and you kind of just feel like, ah, oh, like that kind of
sounds
feeling.
Sounds nice.
I agree. I've never said it either. I don't think I've been in love. I think I have been immersed in infatuation.
Yeah.
So like short-lived, intense feelings of like passion for someone that maybe are a bit more teenage-like, rather than the sort of love, the romantic equivalent to the love that I have for my closest friends and my family. I've never felt that in a romantic relationship before.
Yeah.
People, you know, talk about the L bomb and it being a really big deal. Should it be a big deal to say I love you when you're in a new relationship?
I don't know. I said I love you first in my last one. But it wasn't like straight out like, hey, love you. It was like, oh, I think I love you. Like, it was
and
like,
were you
like,
nervous
side,
to say it?
Like, no, but I'm just like quite... I've got this thing of like this quote that I always say and tweet and stuff that says, if you love somebody, you should tell them, because hearts are often left broken with words left unspoken.
Oh, that's good.
And then from like even in school, if I fancied somebody, I'd always just tell them I fancied them, because even if they don't actually fancy you back, then they're going to think about you, and then you're not wasting any time. And it's like you'll get your answer sooner rather than admiring from afar. You're just like, look, I fancy you. If you like me back, then perfect. If you don't, then that's fine, but I'm just going to tell you I like you, and you can do with that information what you like. And then it's either going to go one way or the other, and you're not wasting any time. Same with love, a bit.
Such a sensible approach.
Yeah.
I like, we should just all be more upfront about our feelings, shouldn't we?
I agree. I think if you like someone, just tell them. I used to do that as well when I was at school and uni. If I fancied someone and I wasn't feeling like they fancied me, I would just be like, by the way, like, I quite like you. Sometimes it goes down like a lead balloon, but sometimes it works.
Yeah, it takes balls though, because it's scary to put yourself out there because you think the other person might not feel the same. And I think when you're in a relationship, people are scared to be the first person to say I love you, because
if the other person
doesn't say it back,
and
maybe doesn't
other...
feel awesome. And you sort of think if you say it too early, you don't want to scare them off.
I think you can kind of gather. Like, I don't know, from personal experience, I feel like you'd know if the other person's feeling mutual to you, whether or not they've said it or not. It's kind of obvious when you're in that stage of like, you're both equally as obsessed with each other and you're spending all this time together and you call each other all the time and you're speaking all the time and blah, blah, blah. Like, you're very much in a love zone and it's quite obvious. So I always get quite shocked when somebody's been like, oh, I told them they love me and I told them I love them and they replied like, oh,
thanks.
No, like, and I'm just like, how did you not know? But then maybe that's ignorant of me because I haven't been in that situation, but I feel like there's a vibe, you know, if somebody loves you or not. Like, it's not a small thing, it's a big deal. It's not something you just fling out on a whim.
And I think you wouldn't necessarily feel like you loved that person if you didn't intrinsically feel like they loved you back.
Yeah,
you know, I just,
you would hope so anyway.
Yeah,
well, we discussed last week how a spark and a connection in the early stages of dating isn't always mutual. Like, you can think there's a spark and a connection and the other person doesn't. And I don't know if the same goes for love, because I'm pretty sure you can be in love with someone who doesn't love you back.
Well, yes, but unrequited love, which we have also spoken about on this
but
podcast.
If you're in a relationship with the person you love, I don't know. I also think you have to think about as well, what do you do if your partner tells you they love you, but you're not sure if you're there yet? How do you play it? What do you do? You can't be like, thank you.
No, you don't say thank you, but I think,
unless
you're an idiot.
What do you say?
I think you say, you just say, I'm not ready to say it back. You just be honest.
Oh.
I know it's awful, but you can't say, you could sort of say thank you.
I'm trying to think if I was actually in that situation. I think if I felt like I could potentially love them very soon, if it was leading to love, but I just wasn't ready yet, and I knew that there was potential to be really happily ever after with them, then I'd probably just be like, love you too, but just not make a big deal out of it and then swiftly move on. But if it was like, no, you know what, I like you, but it's definitely not love and you're way ahead, then I'd be like, I just think it's a bit soon.
Then you should, I think then you should clarify. If you think that they're miles ahead of you, then I agree.
Is there an issue, or could it be a problem if people say it too soon in a relationship, if people sort of jump the gun? And because I think, do you know what a lot of people do that then actually kind of regret is they say it when they're drunk. They're like, oh yeah. My god, I love you.
That happens when people say I like you when they're drunk as well. We're just like, oh, I oh know. Yeah, and like confess their fancy, and it's like, oh, no,
drunk text. Like them.
Yeah, those are the worst. But I don't know.
I think it's very easy for it to slip out when you're drunk, and then the next morning will sort of be like, oh god, did I actually say that last night? I hope they didn't hear me. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll just forget about it.
Well, we can't keep talking about Love Island, but we did see sort of Megan say to Wes in bed one night, like, I think I love you. But then she was sort of the next day like, oh, I didn't mean that what I said, you know?
Yeah, take it back. You get caught up in the moment sometimes and you're just like, oh, because you can feel like you love someone just because you fancy them so much and everything's so lovely. You're like, oh, it must be love. And then when you actually sit back, you're like, no, come on, it's too soon, or it's not that.
It makes you feel vulnerable, I think, because you're like putting your heart out there, and that's really scary, because we're all, I think, a bit scared about putting our feelings out there and sort of laying ourselves bare, and that is scary,
terrifying. And I do actually think there are different types of love, sort of like we said earlier. I think unrequited love, which you mentioned, is a very different feeling to love when you're in a relationship, because when it's reciprocated, you feel a bit more validated with it. You feel more secure in that love you have for that person. Whereas unrequited love, I think a large part of it is all about getting carried away with the thoughts in your own head. And a lot of it is probably fantasy.
Like fantasizing, I was going to say.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Definitely.
It's quite interesting, a stat we found. That more than 50% of people wait until after 3 months to say I love you. I feel like we sort of need some more detail out here. Like 3 months of what? 3 months of seeing each other?
I just think like it's so circumstantial. Because if you met somebody abroad and you were living abroad for a year or whatever, and they were abroad too, and you met and then you were staying in the same hotel and ended up spending 24 hours a day with them for the next 2 weeks, literally in and out, you would eventually be like, oh, I love you, because you're spending so much time. Whereas if you're in London and you're seeing somebody and you're going out, but you see them every Friday and Saturday or something, can you speak a little bit during the week? That would naturally take a lot longer because you're not spending as much time and it's going to take longer for the bond to build. But that's why on Love Island, when they do say I love you, I'm like, I kind of get it, because you live with them for 3 months, like living with anybody for 3 months, living with somebody for a week, you know more about them than you will just visiting them every 2 days or something.
Yeah, so sharing a bed every night.
Yeah, it's intimate.
Yeah.
Super intense.
So yeah, I don't think there's a time limit on love. I think just when it feels, when you feel it. I don't believe in love at first sight though. I don't think that's the thing. No, I think you can lust and you can be infatuated and all that stuff, but you don't love someone until you actually know them.
I agree. I don't really believe in that either. Do you believe in love at first sight, Rach?
I mean, I sort of would like to, but how can it possibly, how? It can't. It can't.
Logically, it doesn't make sense.
No, like it's a lovely idea. And I sort of have, I've definitely like seen someone and felt like very intense feelings. I'm like, you look perfect.
You are perfect. I'll have one of you. I was like, please.
You look like you're exactly what I'm looking for. I'm going to kidnap you.
The creepy face, right?
Yeah, like so creepy. Thank God this is a podcast. But yeah, then obviously, like, if I were ever to speak to that person, they could actually be horrible or an idiot or, like, absolutely not what I think they are in my head anyway. Yeah. So maybe have love with the idea of who you're looking at.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
But no, it's not even really love. How can it be love? Of course it's not love.
It's not.
Okay, I'm going to say love at first sight. No.
No.
Not a thing.
Do you guys think there is a stigma, if you're in a heterosexual couple, of the woman saying I love you before the man?
I don't think there is. No, I actually don't. I know that I would, I would feel vulnerable saying it first anyway, but that's nothing to do with gender. That's just because I wouldn't know whether I want to say it to someone without knowing for sure that they feel it too.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have never felt that. I'm always just like, meh, you know.
But I think that's good because I think it's sort of, it comes down to the idea of like these kind of quite backward stereotypes of like the guy has to ask the girl out and, you know, like, no.
Yeah, none of that. The only one of those kind of things that I'm still a bit like, okay, I would really want them to propose to me, not me propose to them. That's the only one.
Like the ultimate love, tradition.
Like whatever, that's all, everything's changed. But I would still prefer to be, just because I've got ideas of how I want to be engaged and stuff, rather than the actual like thought of it.
Yeah.
Just, I want a nice special engagement rather than me have to think of it.
I know. I think like even the most progressive women, I think most straight women want the proposal and the man getting down on one knee.
It's just what you fantasize about, I suppose. Like when you're thinking of marriage as a child, you're like, oh, and then I could propose to on this tower or on a hill or whatever it is.
I agree with you. But recently, I think it was Greg James's girlfriend that proposed to him. And I think that's great. But it was such a big news story that she had been the one to propose to him. And that bothered me. That was such a revolutionary thing. Like, I get it, but it's just, I don't think it shouldn't be news.
No.
Oh my God, that's so funny you say that. Like, you know, Greg James's podcast, and he goes, that shouldn't be news. That's like a segment they do.
Is it?
Yeah, never mind.
Rachel's mildly obsessed with Greg James.
Only mildly obsessed. Definitely not my dream dude. If you get signal.
Oh, is it because he's really tall? Is that why?
Maybe. Okay. No. Yeah, you know, there's that meme that goes, there's this meme that I always get tagged in by my friends that basically just goes, do I fancy him or is he just tall? And I always ponder that.
Oh my gosh. That's such a thing, isn't it? Like the
high
style.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Anyway,
Greg James aside,
proposals, love, great. This has been great. It's probably a good note to wrap up on because now I'm distracted by the thought of Greg James. Excellent. Guys, let's move on to talk about holiday romances, which we wanted to dive into because obviously it's the summer and people are always on holiday. We are anyway, aren't we? God, we're not doing any work. So I think this is quite a fun topic because I grew up watching like Mary-Kate and Ashley films and the Lizzie McGuire movie where they go to like Rome and Paris and like meet these like Italian men who then drive them around on their Vespas and have these amazing holiday romances.
The Lizzie McGuire film is so seminal in my life.
Oh my
God.
It is iconic.
Paolo.
Love.
Love.
I mean, it's the most stupid plot in the world, isn't it?
Yeah, but ridiculous.
Let's not pick holes. And this has never happened to me. These films sold
you
me
mean
a lie.
You haven't gone to Italy and been swept off your feet by an Italian pop star and
and met my double.
Met your double.
With a different hair colour. And then done a concert in the Colosseum.
God, that happened to me last week in Slovenia. It's so weird.
Anyway, never had a holiday romance.
I have, but I was like a child. Well, not a child, but I was like 13, 14. My nan and granddad have a house in Spain. The same one we'd visit every summer. And so I had like a friend group there that I'd visit every year. So it kind of blossomed throughout some years. Probably like 13 to 14 to 15. And then I had like a little Spanish boyfriend. But it would only last like 2 weeks. So he'd like pick me up in his little moped.
That's
we'd
cute.
Ride around, sit by the sea. And he couldn't really speak English. So we'd just like mime to each other and be like, do you want to dance? And
oh
then
God,
like go and
so
like
funny.
Go to the local disco and kind of like dance around drinking amount of ice or whatever it was.
Oh, but delicious.
Yeah, no, that's my only like holiday romance really.
I feel like I must have had something. I mean, I did do a year abroad, so that's a bit different. I had like a living abroad romance.
Okay.
But a bit different then, because I was like, this is when I was in like Germany for 6 months or whatever, so it doesn't count.
But what happened, I mean, this is my question with holiday romances as well. So when you met this guy away, what happens then when you inevitably have to leave?
Oh, I'd ended it before that.
Oh, okay.
I know. It's time. I think I don't know. If you're having a holiday romance, I suppose, like from my friend's experience, whenever I'm away with them, if they meet someone or something, it's always like, well, you both know exactly what it is. Like, we're going to be together and we're going to be boyfriend and girlfriend for a week and then we're never going to see each other again. And then maybe every now and then we'll like Facebook message and say, oh, I'm coming to your town one day. And that's about it.
I think for a lot of people, that's the allure of it and it makes it more attractive because they know like it could never be a serious thing.
Yeah, you get like the good, sunny, positive, lovely bits of it and then none of the drama or stress.
To be fair, I have friends who've had like brilliant experiences of like meeting some like Greek Adonis on the beach or whatever. Like, it does happen. And actually, my flatmate met her boyfriend when traveling, and they like spent 3 days together in, I don't know, Asia, South America, something like that, somewhere far away. And then they just sort of stayed in touch. And now, even though he lives in Dublin and she lives in London, they like see each other every 3 weeks. They're totally in love, totally smitten, been like official basically since they came back from traveling. And that's like cute. I think are looking to live together. And yeah, this all started after 3 days.
Lovely.
Well, you can understand how it happens, because when you're on holiday, you're obviously very stimulated by all of these new and exciting things around you.
Yeah.
And I think if you meet someone new, it's very easy to get carried away and maybe conflate your feelings of, oh, I'm in a new place, this is a new amazing person, with that, and sort of think that someone is a bit more exciting than they perhaps might be had you met them back home.
And when someone's foreign, they're more attractive, to be honest, because like when I did my year abroad, it was amazing. Like, I lived in Belgium and I lived in Germany, and I was just like way more attractive than I was at home, because I was like the foreign girl. But it's like, even, you know, when I go to like party these days and like someone brings their like French friend, and then, or if it's like a girl or something, and all the guys are like, oh my God, who's that French girl? Oh my God, oh my God. Yeah. Like, and less so in London, because it's super international.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, especially when, if you live somewhere where, you know, it's, you don't get so many exotic people coming in, then, you know, it's more attractive.
It is exciting. I think that's just like a, it makes sense. Go on holiday. Mm. You're in your bet. You're at your best. You've got a little tan on. Everybody's saved up their money so you can go to like restaurants that you want to go to, and you go to parties that you want to go to. Whereas in England, you're just probably working half the time and then maybe go to the pub or whatever. Yeah. It just makes sense that you would meet somebody and get swept off your feet abroad. I actually did an episode on my podcast called What Goes on Tour Stays on Tour.
Fun.
And it's literally just like, do you repeat what you've done abroad? Like, if you go and meet somebody over there and you have this relationship, is it something you talk about when you get back, or do you just delete it from your memory? And is there protocol, like, okay, give a fake name or da da da?
Yeah,
it depends, like all of those kind of questions.
You could make up a whole identity.
You can be a different person when you're abroad, and I think that excites people as well.
That's a fun idea.
Australia or somewhere the opposite of the world, and you're literally like, okay, who am I today? I am Lola, who sells, I don't know, like palm reeds or something. Like, you could be another human.
Oh my God, I just remembered a story. I went to Copenhagen at the end of November with one of my girlfriends. We went on a night out and we met this group of Australian guys, and I can't even remember what they said was. They made up that they were the most ridiculous, they had the most ridiculous job, and we totally bought it. And I can't remember what it was now. It was like cave diving, or no, I don't know if that's real or not, but it was something ludicrous. And we were like, really? Like, really? Anyway, and then, I don't know, then they went to another bar, and then we caught up with them later, and then we got it out of them that they'd made up the whole thing. And like, that they weren't their names or anything. I felt so stupid.
That's so funny.
It was really annoying.
No one will ever know.
No.
Well, I'm actually going to Paris in August with the same girlfriend I went to Copenhagen with. And you know what? I think I might suggest we try and get our revenge on some men.
Trick them.
By tricking them.
Yeah. So you're like a porn star from Paris.
Yes. I think they'll buy it. Yeah, exactly.
So funny. My only holiday romance encounter is such a disaster. So I was in New York, which is very different dating culture to London.
How old were you? When are we talking?
I was 20.
Okay.
People really approach people in real life in New York all the time.
So interesting.
And when they find out you're British, they love it, and they will talk to you for ages and ask you all about British, and do you speak British? Do you know the Queen? I honestly, someone asked me if I speak British when I was in New York. I'm not kidding. So that was very funny. Anyway, my friend and I, it was just me and one other girl, and we were actually living out there for a month, and we went to this bar, and both of us kind of were mingling with different people, and I had met this really good looking guy, was speaking to him for like 20 minutes. I was like, oh, this is great, I'm just gonna go to the bathroom. Went to the bathroom, then found my friend and was like, hey, I've just met this great guy, he's so awesome, he's really funny, he's really interesting. She's like, oh, look, that's so weird, I've just met this great guy. And she's like, which one is he? And I pointed over at him. She was like, oh my God, that's the same guy I was just talking to. Meanwhile, we're talking, this guy comes up to both of us and starts saying, hey girls, you guys know each other, this is great, like, should we all go back to mine? And it was so strange.
He was planning a rendezvous.
Yeah.
Did you go?
So we got drunker.
Excellent.
And I remember being on the dance floor, and he was sort of trying on with both of us, at which point I just kind of like sidled away. my friend was a bit drunker than I was, and ended up kissing him that night. And ended
were
up
you miffed or no?
No, 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 no. At this point, I was like, I don't care, whatever. Like, she can go for it. She'd just broken up with her ex-boyfriend. I was like, you take it. Yeah. You take this one. Anyway, she then went on a few dates with him for the rest of the holiday.
Oh,
had a little holiday romance.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I bet he was sneakily saying, so where's your friend? Are we going to do
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I think.
Are we going to get that three
when's that going to happen? Is it a three-way deal?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so that was interesting.
But I think if you get in a situation like that, like, I just can't imagine what it's like, because she's on holiday, right? And, like, she probably has got, like, various things she wants to, like, see and do. Mm. And then is she going to make time to go on multiple dates with some guy? And, like, is she going to ditch you? Like, is that okay?
Yeah, where did you get left?
So it would be, I think she went on two more dates with him while we were there. And one of the evenings, I think I went and met one of my friends who lived in New York. And then the other one, I think I just sat in the flat and watched Grey's Anatomy and ate chocolate. It was like, you go, babe. You get your boy. I'm going to sit here and eat Lindt dark chocolate
Chill
all day.
Out.
Yeah. Sounds lovely, actually.
So it's
I
fine.
I guess where it gets messy is between those two, when, like, she goes back to the UK, if one of them's like, let's make this a thing and be long distance, and the other's like, no.
I just don't think that happens. I think the majority of holiday romances are holiday romances. Yeah. I don't think it ever really comes home with you.
But then some people get married on holiday romances.
True.
Find their love. Say, forget the flight. I'm staying here with you for life.
Yeah. I think it's potentially different if you're both from the same place.
Yeah. Or no, I think that maybe when you're older as well, that's more likely.
Yeah.
Like, if you've been trying to find love for a very long time and you get this immense connection with somebody that you haven't had your whole life abroad, then you're more likely to risk it all and just be like, do you know what? Forget my past life. I'm staying with you. But
I like those stories. They're rare. But they give me hope. Okay, guys, let's finish off with a dating dilemma. Well, a dilemma of sorts. An interesting email from one of our listeners anyway. So here it goes. I've just discovered your podcast and binge listened to about 10 episodes before reaching the one about period sex. I couldn't help but be reminded of a story of my own experience with period sex. For a bit of background, I used to have horrible periods, very heavy and painful. One night I went home with an older guy I was seeing and forgot about the period situation until we were getting down to it.
You just added getting down to it? This just says getting to it?
You know what I mean.
I know, I love that you
getting
added
down.
That.
Getting down.
Anyway, on remembering, I quickly stopped his advances and explained we had to stop, and he was baffled by the fact that I had told him to stop because of my period. He literally just took my pants off and pulled out my tampon himself and started fingering me. Sorry, this is quite graphic. I was completely horrified and embarrassed about this and thought he had misunderstood what I meant. In a bit of a panic, I told him my periods were heavy and it would be messy, which to me as a 21-year-old was horribly embarrassing and awkward.
But he was so calm and unfazed by the whole issue and said he was fine with all the bits that were involved with period sex and was happy to go ahead if I wanted to, or to leave it if I'd rather not. I found this so arousing and refreshing, having only dated guys my own age before who had not been okay with even the topic of periods, let alone period sex.
His openness with it has made me feel so much more relaxed going forward, and I found that in me being calm, guys are always happy to go ahead with it. I love the podcast and it's so refreshing to hear some of these topics talked about. Having just started dating again for the first time in about 18 months, in brackets, dating sabbatical, not in a relationship, and I am very quickly losing faith in men again, so it's nice to have some solidarity from you girls.
Oh, gosh.
I love this. Like, it's really interesting because we sort of discussed on the period sex episode that we had sort of found that guys don't think it's as big a deal as actually girls do, and it's interesting that she seems to think it's an age thing.
I think it's more like an experience thing. If a guy hasn't really been in a proper relationship, then maybe he's not really been around periods a lot. Do you know what I mean?
I agree.
Whereas like an older guy has probably been in a long-term relationship. He's been around the period situation. He knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're just seeing girls or sleeping with loads of girls and not actually setting them down, you don't have to deal with it. So
Grace Victory, the blogger and influencer, this week did an Instagram post where she had, it was a picture which showed, you know, a period blood stain on her bed sheets, which is like a monthly occurrence for a lot of women. And I thought it was brilliant for her to post about it. But then it was interesting that she said she lost followers because after posting that, which I think is such a shame. It's almost like people don't want to see it, people don't want to think about it, people don't want to talk about it.
It's mad because it is like typically on Instagram when you're scrolling through, you don't see a bloodstained sheet. Like it's not normal. So I can get people being a bit like, oh, about it, but not to unfollow somebody.
No, exactly.
I thought it was really good that she did that because I'm like, even though as an adult now, I'm completely not embarrassed about any kind of thing to do with periods. But when I was younger, like in school, having a leak or like having a stain on your trousers if you had leaked or something like that would have been absolutely humiliating for me. And if I'd seen somebody that I'd followed or looked up to posting about it, then it would make me feel so much better and be like, oh, I don't have to feel ashamed. Like everyone does it, blah, blah, blah.
It's funny because you think about, I remember Lena Dunham talking about this. You never see women menstruating on TV and in film. You never see a woman like pulling a tampon out or anything. And like, you know, it would probably be received as quite graphic if you did, but...
And rarely also a breastfeeding.
I actually had an argument with someone when I saw that post. Not a real like not an angry argument, but just a debate because it was a boy who compared periods to wet dreams. Like, well, boys have wet dreams. Like, you don't see pictures of boys having a wet dream on your Instagram feed. And I'm like, it's completely different.
Yeah.
Like, a period is something that happens every month that we have no control over. Yeah. And it's hormonal and you get emotional and all these things that come with it. Whereas a wet dream is just like, it's just a wet dream. Like, so girls probably have them too. It's not even a big deal in the slightest. Like, and even if we did see pictures of a boy having a wet dream on the timeline, if it was an issue that boys were struggling with or men were struggling with, then fine, post that
too. Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't carry any of the issues around period poverty or anything like that. No. It's completely different.
And the thing is, I think a lot of women, if they're in a relationship with a man and it's like the early stages, if you stay in the bed sheet, for most women, if they, you know, you're not super comfortable with the guy yet, you feel embarrassed because that's what society tells you to feel. So I think it's great that actually, you know, she's talking about it, Grace is talking about it. I think it's just, we just have to talk about it more.
Yeah.
I agree.
And free tampons as well.
Absolutely.
And put them on screen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes! On that empowered note, we will wrap things up. Thank you everyone for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's episode of Millennial Love. If you did, please do subscribe to us. Please rate us. Please review us. Please tell your friends. Please tell us. We'd love to hear it.
And you can also follow us on Instagram at millennial_.love. You can DM us.
You just said _.love. It's just underscore love.
Bugger. Sorry. Getting confused with the Instagram and the email. I'm so bad with Instagram. Millennial_.
Maybe
love.
I should say the Instagram bit.
Okay. Do you want to say the Instagram
bit? I just meant in future episodes.
You are much better at the Instagram than I am.
Well, I'm an obsession.
I reply to the messages.
Yes, absolutely.
anyway. Carrying away here. millennial_love.
Yes.
And our email address is millennial.love@independent.co.uk. And you can send us your disasters, your dilemmas, your praise, your
feedback.
Criticisms.
Yeah.
And all stories will be kept anonymous.
Yes. And you can also join our Facebook group, which is facebook.com/groups/millennial.love. Maya, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It was lovely. Lovely.
Good. Where can everyone find you?
Online. Just Maya Jama, MayaJama on everything.
Fantastic.
Lovely.
Give her a follow. Have a wonderful week, everyone. Okay. And we'll be back when Louis's back from France, hopefully with some great holiday romance stories.
Oui. Au revoir.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.